can do for you.
Love Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod, and on the line I have the one, the only.
It's Sean Black, brother. How you doing, brother?
What's up, brother? I meant to say brother. Yes.
I'm looking for a job, brother. Help me out, brother. Brother.
Yeah, brother. And also I have on the other line is...
Anitra B. Hello,
how you
fellas.
Doing, brother?
Okay. I guess you heard the song.
Yes, I heard the song. Good grief.
All right. Hey, man, we got to get this party started. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in once again. We're doing a special edition tonight because yesterday was such a... impacted show, we have to do two nights of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, do you know what time it is?
It's time to piss people off.
Again. All right.
But
so
we do
best. Yeah, yes, indeed. So I want to recount yesterday talk because it was very crazy a little bit about the Sandra Bland situation.
Emotional, even.
It was very emotional, but once again, like I told people to call in at 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. To call in and vent out and express what they think about the situation, but once again, everybody is tired, or almost everybody is tired hearing the same story of police brutality, or you want to say another white person killing a black person, whatever you want to think of the situation is, we're tired of it. Well, first, before we go on to other topics, I just want to say my point of view, what the guy said from D.C. last night, what people need to know overall, despite what happened, you need to know the law. You need to know your rights. Educate yourself first. That's my bottom line, because like the guy said last night on D.C., there's too many of these things happen, but people don't know what to do. People don't know how the law, their rights. They're too busy knowing the lyrics to Nicki Minaj or Lil Wayne's song or to that little nay-nay whip dance crap.
Or whatever the heck that the nonsense is going on. Good grief.
Yeah, but it's funny that, especially the youth, they don't know their rights. So when the cop pulls them over, they get upset. And so a tantrum, man, God knows what could happen to that. If Sandra Bland did not smoke a cigarette or is she cooperated, who had known? She would not be another hashtag right now. This is one of those things like could have, would have, should have. We will never know. And as if she was murdered or not, I'm sorry to say, there's one of those stories. We may never know the truth. It will be another cover up. Do I spell corruption in this? Of course. Sean Black, what is your recap on this story?
Well, as far as this story goes, it's going to go into the file with the rest of the same type of stories. The South Carolina man that was killed, that being chased by the cop that got that tased him. This is going to go in there with some of the other stories that we've been talking about since we've been doing this show. And the issue is that There are a lot of instances where we don't know, one, what the cop or the police officer, the arresting officer, might have been mentally. We also, in a lot of instances, don't know what the perpetrator or the alleged perpetrator, that mindset was. So there's always a bunch of combustible elements that can cause a number of things to happen. My issue with this whole entire thing is, just with this particular case, independent of anything else that's happened going into this, is the fact that We have edited footage of the dash cam that we don't know anything about why or how it was edited in the first place. We have a pulled over pedestrian driver pulled over because of a traffic violation, antagonism between both the arresting officer and the now perpetrator. And then we also have to account for what happened in the jail cell in the 3 days that Sandra Bland was in jail before she passed away. We know nothing of any footage inside the jail cell because there were no cameras inside the jail cell. So before we can even start jumping forward into this is racial, this is, there are a lot of elements that I need to find out about before I'll go and say this is exactly what happened. And this is where we're at today.
Anita B?
No, I mean, I agree. This is one of those stories where, unfortunately, we're never going to know what really happened.
Okay.
I would be shocked if they released the results of the autopsy. That would shock me. I honestly don't think. I think it is what it is. And, you know, just like we mentioned earlier, people, when you get pulled over, shut your mouth. Smile. Hand the officer your license and registration. Let him give you the damn ticket. And drive away.
Yes, as I stated yesterday, the whole point is getting from point A to point
exactly.
B alive.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
And, of course, when you're black or minority, it's definitely harder, so you have to kiss ass here and there a little bit, too, you know.
Not
minority.
Always. Not always. I've come across some idiots myself, okay? It's not always about that. Yes, it tends to be that on certain occasions, but it's not always about that. Sometimes you can, you know, you never know who you're going to come across. You don't know what kind of day they had. You don't know kind of, you know, you just don't know. So why even take that chance?
Yes, you're absolutely right. I forgot, ladies and gentlemen, if you're beautiful and have big boobs like some people that we know, I'm not mentioning any names, you could get away with it, too. And on that note, my pen has dropped.
Oh, boy.
On the problem. There's something seriously wrong with you.
You're very
And
welcome.
You're just figuring this out.
No, I've known this for a couple of years now.
Okay.
I just find it necessary to remind them.
Are you guys done? Are you done? Okay, on to the next topic. There's been a very big problem with gun control, lady, in this country. It seems like almost everybody have guns now, except for us three that we know of, yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going anywhere near one of those. You got that right.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
No matter where you're at, whether in a good area or in a ghetto, in the hood, there's guns everywhere, and there's guns taking over the streets. There's another incident that happened last Thursday, I believe, in a movie theater. Sean, can you give us a little bit more details about that, please?
Yes, I will. Speaking, as you just said, at a movie theater on Thursday, there was a shooting that involved 11 people. There was the shooter by the name of John Russell Hauser, who went into this movie theater after having a litany of documented mental issues and mental breakdowns, went into this movie theater in Louisiana and basically opened fire. He bought a 40 caliber handgun, opened fire on as many people as he could within the movie theater, and unfortunately, two people were killed. There were lots of other people that were injured, and he took his own life after the ordeal. And a lot of people looked at this situation as this is starting to become an epidemic now, where we're starting to hear about. We remember from 2012, the Colorado movie theater shooting that had dozens of people killed and lots of injuries and all of the disaster that caused. This one has the same kind of tone to it because, as it's been documented by this particular person, 2008, he had an instance, speaking of the shooter, John Russell Hauser. He has a history of bipolar condition, so he does have some sort of mental illness. He was able to walk into a gun shop and legally buy a gun. even though he already had mental issues, that's going to be. Yeah, go ahead.
Did they do any background check on this gentleman right here?
Well, apparently they did a background check, but the system froze as far as trying to find something. They usually put a 3-day hold on anybody that goes to buy a gun during a background check just to make sure that anything that pops up can be checked correctly. Problem is, that was not the case. He was able to walk into a Georgia pawn shop with the history that I told you about, and buy a .40 caliber handgun. It was, like I said, briefly delayed, but he was still able to walk out of it with the gun. And his mental his issues with the law string back all the way into the 80s. He and his wife had domestic issues after living in Alabama, which is not that far away from the area that the shooting was, where they lived at. And there were domestic violence claims made by the wife in October of that year. There were also, it was a concealed permit that he picked up in 2006. That was denied due to an actual arson in a domestic violence case. So he threatened to burn the house down. He was also being abusive to the wife, and that was documented over the for a few years. So history of bipolar disorder. You have somebody that's unstable, he's depressed about his marriage, and he's able to walk into a pawn shop and buy a gun. Central to this issue is mental health and how that ties in to what's going on with people being able to buy guns.
So, in other words, well, my problem is, just like Sean Black and I discussed it last night, one of the biggest problems of gun control, apparently almost seemed like anyone could get a gun still and go on a rampage, was, yes, on the Second Amendment, you have a right to bear arms. And everybody go by that chicken law. But back then, 200 years ago, the right to bear arms is the right to protect yourself. Now,
wait, I have a question.
Who's this?
I'm interrupted. Shush, I have a question.
Okay.
Are there any charges being brought against the store?
Well, we haven't heard anything about that.
Well, I'm saying considering they didn't follow protocol, so there's something should be done. I mean, our laws are specific that these stores have to follow a certain protocol.
And that is true.
Like you said, 3-day wait and this and that.
Yeah. Basically, what the issue is that when you have some kind of crime or whatever the case, or any mental instability, that should be put into the FBI's background check system in general. Now, in Georgia, they have a database in the state of Georgia that is supposed to carry a 3-day delay when their records suggest that somebody actually may be ineligible to buy a weapon because of mental illness, instability, previous crime, whatever. But see, here's the problem. Georgia has 159 counties to go through. So they have to fact-check all of those counties and make sure that those cross-reference with what they have into the database, and then that goes directly to the FBI. So they have to check all of that. And in the process of all of that going on, you know, you throw things in there and, you know, computers and it's ridiculous.
True. I'm sure there's some loopholes and everything. So if there's any charges, I'm sure it will be minor. But I'm sure they did their part. Hey, this guy looked clean to us. Let's give him a gun and look at the results of that. Another result.
I hope not.
Do not be surprised. We never bought guns, so we don't know the real protocol, but every state is different. We don't know, in New York, it's illegal. That's the bottom line. They don't play that. Even though there are guns on the street that take lives almost every weekend in Brooklyn and in the state of New York. But let's be real. You could get a gun anywhere, anyhow, as long as you got the money for it.
And if you remember, just not that long ago, before former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, he was trying to stop guns from being sold from Virginia. Remember, there was a big sting that they were going to have where there were people that were coming from New York and going into Virginia, legally buying guns in Virginia and in the southern states, and then bringing those right back up to New York. where in New York it's illegal to buy a handgun on the street. So the issue, the central issue here is the gun lobby in the United States is one of the strongest lobbies of anything in this country. No one is afraid. No one wants to get rid of their guns because of, as you stated a little earlier, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and so that the government doesn't take away your right or take away your guns. But this is in that law was written at a time when people were walking around with muskets and had powdered wigs on and were worrying about having their property taken by the government so that they would have to worry about war, so that I could defend myself against the British or against anyone else. This is a law that was put in hundreds of years ago that doesn't apply today. So this is the problem with what's going on with the gun lobby and gun laws in general.
All right, so here's a personal question, Sean. Do you ever like to own a gun for yourself one day?
No. And I'll tell you why. And this is a story that I've never told anybody. But when I was 3 years old, and it can be humorous, but it also kind of lets you see what goes on. When I was 3 years old, I had a West Indian cousin that worked as a security guard. He had a handgun. So he, with his handgun, would normally put his service revolver. He was living in the house with us at the time. And he had the service revolver, put it down on the dresser, and I guess he was putting it away. Me being a child at 3 years old, I saw, you know, what was going, you know, I guess I saw what happened, and I picked up the gun, and I gave it to my cousin, not knowing that, one, it was loaded, and number two, not knowing what's going on, I could have shot him. Now, this is at 3 years old. If you are old enough to know guns are wrong and the wrong hands can be dangerous, you have to know that around the access to getting guns being as easy as it is presents a problem. I myself probably would never buy a gun. I know of so many different things and outcomes that can happen. If you own a gun, even if you don't pick it up, you're at least 20 or 30 times more likely to either shoot someone or be shot or involved in some kind of deadly action from the gun. So I'm not going anywhere near a gun.
Okay. Here's my personal story. I personally do love guns. I'm not going to lie. Do I own a gun? No. Do I want to own a gun? I'm afraid to, because when you own a gun, you feel you have power. And that's a problem with society today. I had fired a gun at a shooting range in the Poconos. And I'm not going to lie to you, it felt good. I had a shotgun and a handgun. The only problem I had with a shooting range, if you look at the targets, it was like all black people. So I'm like, oh, gosh, there's something wrong with this picture over here. And all the targets are black people, and I'm shooting at them. But having a gun does change everything. And Sean Black, you're right. Own a gun may lead to something worse at the end. Shooting someone or you getting shot at, because, God forbid, you get angry. What's the first thing that will come to your mind? And that happens on the streets every time. If I have beef with Sean Black or Nisha B, I go out and get a gun. And that's it. And that will take care of everything. Solve all the problems.
So, and that's the sad part. Many people decide they're going to go in if they are the vengeful type. And it's like, oh, you know what? I got to defend what I got to defend. You want to do this? I'm going to up it. You want to go beat up a friend of mine? I'm going to get retribution right back, and I'm going to end up shooting you. And then that's where the spiral continues.
Yeah. And it should be. Have you ever had a gun or tested a gun before?
I've been to a gun range. There is a one in Brooklyn, and I've been to one out in Pennsylvania. But, you know, I went through the proper protocol. They check your ID. They check your social. You know, once they screen you, then they set you up at the station, and, you know, you shoot the target thingy.
Okay.
But would I ever own one?
Yes, the official name is target thingy.
Obviously, yeah.
But
the only one she will come up with that.
Yes.
No, but I do have to admit it did give it, it was a rush. It was
okay, well,
a rush.
So unfortunately, there have been over 200 mass shootings in the United States this year alone. We haven't done with a year. We have had over 200 mass shootings. And President Obama has frustrated so much about these shootings with things like the one in Charleston at the church, the one at the movie theater, the one, remember the daycare, or I mean the school, the elementary school, all those kids? Like
yeah,
kids
the
like
one
that
in Newtown, Pennsylvania, Connecticut.
You think, you would think with all these stories, there will be stricter or tougher gun laws, but unfortunately, they're not. It's the same story over and over again. And what are we going to do about it, or what the government are doing about it? Like you say, Sean, nothing. So
exactly.
That's why I'm a little bit outraged by this. But it is what it is. We just have to protect ourselves one way or another, but the best protection is knowledge.
Yeah.
On to the next subject. Gang rapes. It seemed like another thing.
What a great segue. Oh, on to the next one. Gang rape.
It seems like a trendy thing going on now, you know. Authorities in Detroit are hunting a group of men who are gang members that have raped women in separate crimes last week. In both incidents, a group of men stripped and robbed the young couple and raped the woman while forcing the man to watch.
Hmm.
So imagine you whip your wife, your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, going out, enjoying yourself, and a bunch of guys come over and took your clothes away. That's one thing, and your money, and force you to watch them raping your girl.
Hmm.
How do you bounce back from that?
Well,
we have a new caller. Caller?
Okay.
Yeah, just hello? Calling in. Yes, hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, great. Actually, I wanted to be mute so I could listen to the show.
Oh, this is Max?
Is that possible?
Okay, you can listen to the show. That's no problem. Okay, so, Sean, carry on.
Yeah. That's a loaded question. I have no idea how you would even reconcile in your mind trying to attempt that ideal, because rape isn't, as we've learned from listening to different psychologists and psychiatrists and people that have talked about these kinds of frightening instances, rape is never always about the sex. It's about power and fear. And a lot of times when you hear about these kinds of things, it's more or less what happened, what led up to it, and how do you protect yourself? And we've heard, especially with the Bill Cosby instances where there was alleged rapes going on, and we don't know all of the stories that have come out yet. But in a lot of those instances, when you hear about rape, you hear about the fact that it's usually from somebody that knows the victim. These gang rapes that have happened in Detroit, these sound very random and also very, very sickening. But at the same time, if you are the person that has been violated, assaulted, and then the aftermath is, you know, getting treatment and trying to heal yourself mentally, physically, etc., it's very hard to keep a relationship going when you have something like that in your mind. And the only way that I can say is the person that you're with has to be strong enough to understand it's going to take a long time to heal. You're going to heal on your own, and you have to be prepared at some point that she may need or he may need, because men actually do get raped against their will as well. You don't hear about it as much because of the perceived machismo of how can a man be raped. But the situations are, it's very hard mentally, psychologically on a female to even continue a relationship. It's tough.
That's tough, but it should be. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, that would honestly, that would be fine. I don't think I would be able to get over that.
So,
I mean,
I'm
very fortunate. I've never been disrespected like that. You know, I've never been in an abusive relationship. I'm fortunate in that aspect. And I don't think, I mean, I couldn't, I see, like, you've seen, like, Lifetime movies or, you know, these stories on CNN or whatnot about these poor women getting violated in these horrific ways. And I couldn't even.
Yeah, there is. It's a real tough situation to even fathom when you hear of other people, just strangers that you don't know, reporting rape. But if this is somebody that you're dating or that you're married to, and you have to subjectively keep in your mind that you've seen the experience, and you're forced to see your wife or your loved one violated, that's something that can traumatize you for life.
So basically, can a relationship survive after an incident like that?
I think it can. It depends on a couple of things. One, it depends on how strong your commitment is to the other person. You have to be able to, one, not make it about you or yourself, and it has to be about healing the person and the couple having to heal. But more importantly, the victim is the person that's going to have to heal. But here's also another real interesting thing, and there's a couple of things that people don't realize. And this is the saddest thing of all. One out of every six American women has been the victim of either an attempted rape or a completed rape in their lifetime. 17 million American women have been victims of attempted rape, and 9 out of every 10 rape victims were female.
Wow.
And that is those are statistics that are scary, and I don't know personally how anybody would deal with that kind of thing, but I think it depends on the constitution of the person and the subsequent recovery of what they do. But I think it can. But the odds are usually against it. And you know what? It also reminds me of, if you've heard of people that have been in relationships where a married couple have lost a child, usually after a child has passed away, they end up losing focus in the relationship, and it leads to divorce or a breakup. It's stressful.
Oh, Max, I'm going to put you on hold, okay, Max? I'm going to put you on hold. Too much background noise.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello.
Okay, I'll put Max on hold. He got background noise. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think if if anything that you take out of it is you can see how strong you are, and you get the tools for the victim that they're going to need to heal. And as long as the victim knows that you are there and you're going to be there with them through every step, through every emotion, and not make it about you. How long is it going to take because it happened a year ago, it happened 2 years ago? You have to have compassion and empathy, and you have to have the right tools, get the right treatment, and then move forward from there. And if you have those steps in place, then a relationship could survive it. But it's very, very difficult for that to happen. Very difficult.
An HOB? Can a relationship survive?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I've never been through a trauma like that. I mean, I couldn't imagine something like that surviving, because you have to realize that man or woman, that person is going to be a constant reminder of the most horrific day of your life. And it's not their fault, obviously, but it is, you know, it is what it is. I honest, I wouldn't be able to do it, personally.
Okay, Ms. Jones, you're on the line. How you doing?
I'm good. Let me listen in for a little bit so I can pick up.
Okay, no problem.
Hey.
Max, are you still there? Max, still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, do you have an input on the rape situation?
Yeah, well, I've been over the weekend in the past, probably the past 4 days, been watching the local news in Detroit. And basically, I'm a little depressed about the sad, you know, the couple, you know, going in and getting raped and everything. And the properties over there is bad. And that's the cause of it. There's nothing going on over there, no activity. And since there's no activity, no jobs, no income, crime builds up more. Local neighbors, they carry firearms. They're afraid. It's depressing over there. Really bad.
So since it's so depressing and they're basically a broke city, so let's gang up together and rape people. But they need some form of entertainment.
I think it's more or less let's get away with whatever we can get away with because there's nothing else there. As I just said, the school system is messed up. There are no jobs, so there's no income. A lot of the people that are there, maybe they're from broken homes. Maybe a lot of them are just absolutely bored. Some of them may be in gangs. You never know what the situation is as far as that, but it's high in the Detroit area. And when you hear of these kinds of things going on, it's almost like it's an epidemic. When you hear about so many houses, people, as the expression goes, houses being underwater, meaning that the mortgage that you're paying on is actually higher than the worth of the house. So there's no value in the homes. So you had a lot of people foreclosing on homes. It's a depressing situation. And when you hear about those kind of socio-economical problems and the lack of any leadership going on there, these kinds of things have started to become prevalent now, and it's just sad. And the people, if you've listened to any of the interviews of the people that are trying to, you know, get together and try to find out the person or the people that have done this, they're outraged and tired of this kind of thing happening.
Okay. K-Dog, you're on the air. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? How's everybody feeling?
We're doing good.
Hey, how's everybody? Yeah, and listening to everything that's going on, especially with these with this horrible crime that's going on in the city of Detroit, and I'm glad you guys pointed out the fact that there is so much negative things that are going on over there in that city. And in response to hearing you guys talk about rape as a crime, it's a very serious crime that's going on. I mean, nobody, absolutely nobody deserves that kind of treatment. I mean, hearing that in the news that there's gang rape and, you know, attacking young couples and raping the girlfriend and having the boyfriend watch, that's just sickening in itself. And, you know, I mean, I hope they do find the perpetrators who's been doing this and they deserve just punishment. And the thing is, for a relationship to survive after sexual assault, I believe that it takes a lot for that relationship to survive. Mm. It takes a lot. I mean, number one, it does take a supportive partner. I mean, let's just say if you're with somebody and the person's been raped, you have to be their strength because they've been violated in the worst kind of way. It's a very bad situation that women go through. And it's such a traumatic experience. It takes years for them to get over it. It takes a whole lot of people. It takes a whole lot. That's why, as a partner in the relationship, you have to be strong for that person. You have to be real strong for that person and be patient with that person and to deal with what the person is going through because that person just went through the worst traumatic experience ever. You know, it takes a whole lot.
Well, I have a question for Max. Going back to the gun control situation. Do you think people should be carrying guns all over the 50 states?
Well, the chief of Detroit had actually gave out the general announcement for all civilians to carry firearms. You can see on YouTube. So he gave the green light for civilians to start carrying firearms. And it's crazy out there. It's like the Wild Wild West.
So anybody carry guns, so that means anybody could start shooting up people now. I mean,
exactly.
Are you carrying guns?
But why? You know, the problem is that the police department is low on manpower, and the economy is so bad, they can't even hire enough officers. So by the time somebody responds to a crime, you know, everything's done. So, and if you go on YouTube, they just recently robbed a hair salon. They had all the women in their hair dryers, and three thugs came in with hoods, black hoods, and they had the bags. And one guy had a gunpoint, telling all the women to put their money in the bag. The video camera showed all three of them doing it, and they collected thousands of dollars and then walked out.
So why is our government not doing much to help out the people in Detroit? We help out other countries. We help out Israel, but not Detroit.
I'll tell you why. Because in the eyes of the government, they would rather put their money in the gun lobby. They would rather put their money in defending their interests overseas than taking care of the domestic issues, like infrastructure. We got bridges. We've got streets. We have sinkholes opening up. There are things that are happening with tunnels falling apart at almost on a daily basis. No money is going into that. We have a failing school system. Nobody's really seemingly putting any money into that. People dying left and right. Chicago is the city of Chicago is like gun violence every day, gang violence every day that you hear about either on the news, where there are so many young people dying in the streets. So instead of that attention being made to domestic issues, everybody is taking a look at how are we going to make money and get that next oil tanker, or how are we going to get that next country to see our way and get our interest into this particular thing. And that's part of the problem. We have to shift the attention away from the outside interests and worry about home much more often. And that's part of the problem.
Yes, it is.
So we have money for a new stadium for every state, but no money for rebuilding Detroit or other areas of this country.
Oh, of course. We've got more than enough money to get sports owners to get pay one person $280 million, but they can't take that same amount of money and put that into the educational system and making sure that we've got new schools built, or make sure that there's training for police officers, or that there's training for any number of computer jobs or anything of that nature. You just don't hear about that, because all of the money is going into things that don't seem to interest people now in the United States that need it the most.
Okay. Well, let's go to the main event topic right now, because my body is itching.
Sounds like you got a rash. I think they have some kind of ointment.
My body's itching. What the heck?
Your body's
itching.
Man, what?
I don't need your cooties.
You got bit by the cooties, man.
Oh, well, he called himself the hot rod. Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, my brothers. That's not the way to talk about your mean brother. Oh, Hulk Hogan, man. Hulk Hogan is American hero. Where should we start about Hulk Hogan now? Maz, I'll let you take this one.
I still haven't heard the little rant. Was it that bad?
I have the rant in front of me. I can set it up for you. I'll tell you what he said. I'll edit it, of course. And then everybody can disseminate the information how they want. But I'll set it up. The issue happened, for those that don't know about it, because it's been flapped all over the place, we all know Hulk Hogan had a sex tape where from 2008, where he actually had sex, apparently, with his best friend's wife, Bubba the Love Sponge, his wife. They had I can't make this stuff up. This sounds like something right out of the circus. In any event, he cheated with this woman, and it was recorded. I don't know if this was consensually recorded or if she recorded it just for school, whatever.
It was
consensual recording. Okay, so they did the deed. Situation is, afterwards he gets into what was supposed to be a conversation that was in confidence, a private conversation. And the tone of the conversation was about how upset he was with his daughter, Brooke Hogan, having sex and dating a black man. Mm. And the conversation goes as follows. I'm going to edit as much as I can because this is a PG-13 show.
Oh,
yes, it is.
This is what Hogan said to Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. I don't know if Brooke was effing the black guy's son. I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point. Effing N-word. But then when it comes to nice people and blank and whatever, I mean, I'd rather if she was going to F some N-word, I'd rather her marry an 8-foot-tall N-word worth $100 million, like a basketball player. I guess we're all a little racist. Effing N-word. That is the entire gist of the conversation. I know there's more that was released at some point, but this was done 8 years ago. It's not as if this happened, you know, yesterday or a month ago or a year ago. This was 8 years ago. And the fact that this was leaked, and we've heard about the porno tape, but we haven't heard about anything else afterwards for this long. I don't know how this was kept quiet.
Wow.
Well, due to the court paper, they had to do a transcript because Hulk Hogan is suing the porn company for the leak of the tape. So that's
yes.
what came about. So
yes,
Walker
is the website that got, they obtained the porno tape. And what happened was apparently Hogan was in the process of getting ready to sue the website for obtaining this illegally. So we can speculate how the porno tape got there. But that brings in a lot of other questions that we're going to have to talk about. One, in the privacy of, I say, your own home or whatever is the case, this was a conversation that was not meant for anybody to hear, much like the Donald Sterling incident where we are the former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, and his conversation with his then-girlfriend, V. Stiviano, was in private confidence and then was taped and then leaked to the media. At what point are we going to continue to will you demonize somebody who has a racist conversation or has racist thoughts, but if these were never brought to the forefront, no one would ever know if he really was racist or not.
Exactly. And that's why I said people are so quick to say, oh, I'm offended, and, oh, this person's a racist. But how do you know they're a racist? You never actually heard them. Like, you know, like, let people be racist so that way you can deal with it head on. You know, that's why racism isn't going anywhere, because it's so undercover and pervasive. Whereas you have systemic racism that's blatant, or institutional racism that's blatant, and institutional racism, I feel, is just completely rampant, because it's like it happens in the workplace, but because people need a paycheck, they let it slide. But that was just my little rant. I'm sorry.
Never, not even that. We don't even know what kind of mood he was in. If he was angry, I'm sure we've all said some really stupid shit when we're pissed.
Here we go.
I'm just saying, it happens when you're upset. These dumbest things come out of your mouth. So it's also possible, I mean, I'm not condoning what he said, but it's also possible that this guy was angry and he could have put his foot in his mouth in private, in the privacy of him or his, you know, girlfriend's home.
Okay, Max, are you awake?
Max, are you awake?
Max falls asleep.
Max, would you be over there taking NyQuil? What the hell?
Everyone's just taking pot shots at me.
Yeah, man, we're going to get some coffee.
All right, well, Max, by the way, is Hulk Hogan a racist? That is my question.
Well, those words that Sean just read out, and I did listen to the rant, that's all racism, bro.
Oh, shit.
But racism is more than the words. Remember, it's also based on power and actions. And I did remember telling you guys privately how in the 80s, how many times have you seen a wrestler, a black wrestler, get pinned by a white wrestler?
Oh, word. That is so
They never threw a belt down for a black wrestler. A black wrestler was never, it's taboo for a black wrestler to win a heavyweight championship belt.
And we can definitely, we would definitely be getting into like the socioeconomics of the pro wrestling business. And
you know what this is about. This is about Hulk Hogan putting his foot in his mouth.
Exactly. I think he put both feet in his mouth, actually.
He really did.
Oh,
but
big
I'm also
time,
like,
Jack,
you've never put your foot in your mouth being angry?
I believe so, but at the same time, there is a level of, okay, when you're upset, angry, pissed off even, and you go and you're in an argument with somebody or whatever is the case, there is a level of anger that you can have, but to really be honest, the majority of people, if you're going to go out and be that upset, a lot of times, a lot of the words that you say that are genuine will come out of your mouth if you have it in your heart at some level. Now, I'm not saying every word that comes out of everybody's mouth is exactly what they mean, because when you're upset and you're mad, you're going to say something really silly or stupid or just something you'll regret. But for somebody to lash out the way he did, it's one thing if he was saying he was upset and he was actually saying this to his daughter. That's one thing. He was upset talking about his daughter to somebody that's a complete third party. That is a completely different idea of being angry. He had that in his heart about the situation.
No, you're right. It is. But the reason... First of all, he was the privacy of it was done in private. He didn't disrespect a group of people. He didn't attack anybody. He was within his rights, which is, I mean, do I agree with anything coming out of his mouth? Absolutely not. But he didn't disrespect anybody. The only thing he did was spew a bunch of crap that obviously nobody here believes, and that was it. I mean, he was wrong, but he didn't. What did he really do?
Okay, I think that's
voice
a key thing.
Opinion?
What did Hulk Hogan really say? That is nothing new. That word has came out almost everybody's mouth at least once in their lifetime. So for Hulk Hogan to say that, I don't classify him as a racist. So what he said was wrong, but then again, we all say the word. Let's be honest, guys.
I don't think racism comes down to a word, though. I really don't.
And the tone of when it was used.
Well,
that's what a lot of people aren't really getting.
Here's what I got to say about the whole thing. I mean, this thing was just, you know, everybody has an opinion about it. You know, I mean, racism is really like an action towards someone of a different race. It's an act. I mean, anybody could commit an act of racism, but you know what? The words itself does sound racist. That I can agree with. But to say that somebody's racist, I could base you on your actions. I could see by your actions whether you're or not you're racist. That's what
we have never seen really Hulk Hogan in public do anything. We've heard him say some outlandish stuff over the years. We know that he can embellish things and outright lie in some instances to make, you know, as they used to call it, tall tales. We've heard Hogan say some outlandish stuff. But the issue is even more so, not even the racism part of it. It is at what point are we going to say that the responsibility of this is on the fact that this conversation was made public when it was supposed to be in a private forum. This was something that wasn't done on a radio show, or this wasn't something that was done in the wrestling ring, talking on the mic or you know, and singling out somebody. This was made as a private situation between apparently two consenting adults in the middle of a porno tape.
I have a question. Hot Rod, Sean, you two are wrestling fanatics.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Do you feel that the organization overreacted by stripping him?
Of course.
You
want
to answer
that's
that, Hot Rod, or you want me to go to it?
I'm going to take this one fully 100%. I am very upset about this situation. Yes, what Hulk Hogan said was wrong. But not like he killed anybody. There's something that happened 8 years ago. A different mindset. Old people use those type of words all the time back then. And once again, we still use that word today. So for Vince Kennedy McMahon and the rest of the WWE authorities to get rid of Hulk Hogan after what he did for that company, the millions and millions of dollars, and just kick him to the curb like he killed someone. And even yet, another bombshell, the owner himself, Vince Kennedy McMahon, used that word on national television 10 years ago. Explain that concept to me. If that was a private conversation, he get fired, but the owner say that word on national TV in front of millions of people as a joke?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense, or is that an oxymoron? Go ahead,
yeah.
Matt. Take it away.
Wait, the owner? The owner said it was?
Yeah, the owner said it 10 years ago. Yeah, he said it years ago on air.
Wait, Sean.
Oh. Yes.
What about your input?
Okay. I will preface this by saying I have been looking at wrestling dearly since I was 4 years old. And me being 40, that goes to show you how long I've been watching wrestling.
And we don't care. Get to the point.
I'm giving you the point. Growing up with certain wrestlers, you kind of listen to them, you grow up with them, and they tend to connect with kids, which is what the audience that Vince McMahon goes for. The problem, as you stated earlier, there's a hypocrisy that goes along with this. Because in the WWE, or the WWF at the time as it was known, there have always been a lot of problems with African-Americans, as they call in the business, getting pushed. Meaning, this African-American guy is going to get put in the main event. He's going to be headlining pay-per-views, and he's going to be the champ in the company, and they're going to make a run with him so that the company can make money. There aren't many opportunities that you've seen African-Americans get that shot or get that chance. And for the stereotypes that we've seen in the WWE over the years of the various characters that they use as a lot of time over-the-top borderline racist caricatures for a particular character, and then you have Hulk Hogan, who is wholesome apple pie, drinking milk, et cetera, they have done everything that they can to expunge him from the history of the company. They've taken his images off their website. I believe they've taken him out of the Hall of Fame. They've stopped selling his merchandise and all of the other stuff. They've taken him out of the video games, and they've taken his music. Anything that has anything to do with Hulk Hogan has been eradicated. Now, if this was something that happened last year, or if this is something that happened last month, I can understand the WWE reacting as they did. And especially since this is Hulk Hogan, they're trying to make an example and saying that we don't condone this kind of behavior, we don't condone this kind of action. But yet, if you look at their product, all of the characters are caricatures, sometimes racist caricatures, of stereotypes that we see every day. How many times, Hot Rod, have we talked about this off air? And we talked about, well, they have the group that's the Black Panther group. Oh, they have the Muslim group they did some years ago.
And now they have New Day.
Exactly.
They're
bad stereotypes that they throw in on a lot of these characters. They have the redneck clique. They have the racist clique. They have African American clique. They have the church going clique. And then they all go in and have a giant race war, and then they give ratings. That's what it seems like a lot of people think.
Okay, so, Max, where are you in this? Are you back asleep?
Oh, my God.
I'm wide awake. Well,
so speak up. I know Hulk Hogan is your hero.
As a fan also, as a diehard fan since I was like a little kid on diapers, Hogan, I was never a big fan of Hogan. I respect the man's business, his work ethic, but like just like Sean, I knew and understood the history of wrestling. And come on, let's be real, guys, and please educate the ladies. Pro wrestling, the amateur wrestling that you see right here, the animated, cartoonish wrestling, it was built basically for guys that couldn't make it to pro sports. And most of the guys that couldn't make it to pro sports were predominantly white. Slow, sluggish, or injured. the dominant figure sports athletes were African Americans. They dominate the pro sports. So you got the retired or beat down pro athletes or has beens entered pro wrestling. Since they entered pro wrestling, they gave the closed door mentality to black wrestlers. You're not making it. Because this is all we got.
Okay. So yeah, so basically, yes, they are racism in pro wrestling. That's a given. There's racism
everywhere.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The point I'm getting to is, it's no surprise because there's guys like Hogan that we may know and love that have that same attitude.
Well, I'll just say this: looking at the pro wrestling now, you know, I could say like this: as of late, correct me if I'm wrong, but when was the last time you ever seen a black person win the heavyweight championship?
Or even more so, I'll do you one better. When was the last time you saw an African American wrestler be prominently put in a position of a main event status and it be respected and not put into some caricature or joke or some kind of stereotype that makes him look like an idiot?
Exactly, because you look at wrestling now. When you see the caricatures like and I see it a lot. Look at R-Truth. What do they have with his buffoonery? What do they do with New Day? That whole thing with being loud and acting like creatures and all. Yeah, this it's basically I call it racial stereotypes.
So,
you'll go to the show and cheer these people on.
Yeah, that's the sad part
about
it.
But you're talking. Look, I hear I hear you talking. But I'm sorry. I've been to wrestling shows with all you guys, and you guys get pumped and hyped, and so you can't sit here and say it's racist when you're cheering them on in these costumes, being these ridiculous characters. You cheer them on, so you're amping it.
I'll tell you where that goes.
You're paying for the tickets.
First and foremost, Anitra, that's a very good point.
That's a very good point. Good point.
You can't say it's racist when you're purchasing. You buy these $100 tickets. You buy the costumes. You purchase the pay-per-view events. We've gone to a million of them. So I really don't understand how you're going to say it's racist when you participate in it.
Well, mind you, can't. It's like you go to a rock show. You go to a rock concert. You know a performer is a racist. But you love the music and you love the entertainment.
Exactly.
Not going to complain about it. I ain't never loved no pro. You know what? Because apparently somebody told me Elvis Presley was a racist, and I like some of his songs. But I mean, really, I still don't believe he really was a racist.
I'll put it to you like this, and I can only speak for myself, and I know there are a lot of people that are wrestling fans that are like from where I have come from as far as old school. Well,
mm-hmm.
I look at wrestling for the in-ring product, not necessarily the characters, not necessarily all of that stuff. I actually like the looking at the ring for the in-ring, the actual matches, the athleticism, the things that they do in the ring. The stuff that's outside, that's all cosmetic. That's there to help sell the character to the audience so that they can try and connect with them. For me... And Hot Rod, you've known me long enough, and we've talked about this before. All I care about is what's happening in the ring. That's what I want to see.
As to what's going on, that's a different thing.
Okay, I have to go to Milton S. Because, you know, when it comes down to racism, nobody knows him better than Milton S. Milton S., take it away.
Here we come.
Yeah. Good evening.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Is Hulk Hogan racist, Milton?
Well, I don't know about racist, but definitely it seems to be prejudiced. That's what I'm sure.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say,
really
too.
Well, prejudiced because, once again, guys, as Max and Sean talked about, back in the 80s, they was raised on that. So maybe they're still in that mind frame.
But let's be honest about this too, Hot Rod. He may be racist in that he never really has done a job to a black wrestler, or let's say put over a black wrestler. You know what I'm saying? So that may be the racism right there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So, racism maybe is an action. You know what I'm saying?
True.
So if he's done things to hold down other black wrestlers, then that would be racist in and of itself.
Right.
But if you want to get to the whole WWE and WWF or pro wrestling in general, like when you see, like I said earlier, it's full of stereotypes, ignorant stereotypes that go on to it. I mean, hell, it's basically a coon fest, to be honest about it.
The
stereotypical characters.
True, but like Anita said, to a certain degree, we support these coon ads. How many people
well,
are
let's,
in the
let's,
stadium?
Let's be honest about this, too. Black folk have been supporting a lot of cooning for years now. Just not in wrestling, but in everything. And that's something
so
we're going to have to stop.
So why are we complaining that overall when Hulk Hogan say the N-word? Oh, my God, he's a racist. If we're supporting
these ain't that he just said the N-word, it's because what he basically said he didn't want his daughter dating black guys unless they were 8-foot, you know, millionaire basketball players. That's what the prejudice and racism is. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And we people complain about it, especially black folk, because we have this thing. Because we all, for hundreds of years now, we've been trying to be accepted by white society. We broke our backs for that. And when Hulk Hogan says things like that, it's just telling us, no matter what our efforts are, we still ain't getting accepted. So that hurt our feelings.
Yeah.
Especially
but
when it goes
know,
against the character
well,
that he tried to portray
right.
for 25, 30 years
no,
on television.
Yeah, he's
all
a
that type
figure.
Of stuff.
Exactly.
It just basically gave us a big middle finger. Basically,
yeah.
that's what
okay.
he just said.
But I mean,
said
but
that
you know
black
what?
People.
Well,
but you,
you
know what?
Funny.
I've always tried to understand why is it that black people really feel like white people are supposed to like them. Like, I mean,
well,
not even,
well,
and
well,
I don't even want to say just white people. Like I said, me personally, when it comes to racism, I don't focus on white people. I really look towards other people like Egyptians, because I actually worked with an Egyptian, and he was as racist as it gets. And he not white, but they consider them white. The census considers them white.
Well,
that's
the
thing.
The focus, main focus on white people because this is a white supremacist.
But I know a lot of
society.
White people that are mad cool. I know mad
well,
white
it's
people.
A mindset that
it's
still hasn't
system.
Been broken for years
right.
and years. If you go back to looking at movies or listening to how Hollywood was in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, when African Americans were trying to break into the business, instead
uh-huh.
of trying to break out on their own, they basically capitulated to everything that happened, and they would straighten their hair. They would try and see if they could lighten
right.
their skin.
Exactly.
Try to do what they could to capitulate and make sure that they
no,
were accepted and within
they
the
did,
business.
They did what they had to do.
Hey,
wait
a minute.
Wait
a
minute.
Can I ask
hold
you
on.
Hold
on.
They did what they had to do because they wanted a paycheck.
Hey, hold on.
That's why they
hold
did what
on.
They
hold
had
on.
To do because they wanted a paycheck.
Hold on. Now, listen,
it's always
now,
about
listen.
Money with black people.
All right.
Okay.
Here's my question.
Coward ass.
Here's my question. All right. Is prejudice towards African Americans different from being racist?
What?
You can have to be prejudiced and to be racist. Prejudice is to have a preconditioned notion
right,
out of ignorance. Racism
yes,
is out of something that you already know and hate.
That basically is like this. Prejudice
yeah.
is not liking black people. Racism
nope.
is stopping black people from getting a job. I can
racism. Oh, my God.
Prejudice is just not attacking somebody.
Prejudice,
you know what I'm saying?
But
racism is stopping
racism
me from getting that home.
Hold on, hold on. One at a time, guys. One at a time. Well, you know what? Let me ask this. Okay, talk about prejudice.
Right.
Let's talk about the West Indian family. And Anisha can relate this too. Our parents, didn't they want us to date and marry within our own culture, our own race at that one time? Like, you know, Haitian people only want a Haitian wife or a husband. If you dated outside of your culture, you consider a bad person. But that was the whole mindset. Maybe Hogan just want him.
I got that same speech, and I'm not even on West Indian. You know what I'm saying? About staying within your own black race.
Yeah, so
you
Hogan wants his daughter to stay within the race. There's nothing wrong
exactly.
with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's old people think that way.
And if that's his thought process to teach his children, if that's what he wanted to teach his children, that's okay if it works for his family and his children.
Though. As it's always, you do certain things, And he did that in an obviously wrong way. You know what I'm saying? So the road to destruction is paved with good intentions or whatever have you. So we may, you know, think that was okay, but the way he said it and the way he did it was totally wrong.
Yeah.
So I have no sympathy for him. He thought what was coming to him.
I don't think he was wrong. I don't think he was wrong. Say what the hell you want so I can see you and know you and hear what you about.
But see, that's the problem. That was not meant for the public to consume. And
so
that's what the issue is.
In other words, basically, you know what? The mask came off and the real person came out.
Exactly.
Oh, well, too
exactly.
damn bad.
Exactly.
Too
because
damn bad.
You know,
oh, well, that's
you know what?
Reap
now
what you sow.
Exactly. You've been stripped of that, whatever you thought was protecting you. People, unfortunately, sometimes we need to just see the real individual for what they are. Some people will embrace
well,
him,
hey,
some people
well,
won't.
Hey,
and,
you and
unfortunately,
saw it, and he got
a majority... Majority
so
of the people aren't embracing him. So you
hey,
lose
listen,
some, you
look,
lose some.
But the thing is, he was being blunt and honest about what he was saying. That's the whole
exactly.
thing. I mean,
well,
the real thing
be,
came out.
You could be blunt and honest and still be wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wrong
you
on
know
right.
what I'm saying?
Wrong
so
right.
He
happen.
Could be wrong, but he's going to be here has all the right to feel
wrong.
That way. I mean, he didn't, he didn't burst out in public
exactly
saying he didn't insult strangers. He made a ridiculous comment in the privacy of his own home.
Okay, everybody relax. Every time we talk about race, everybody's getting jumpy. Once again, it's all entitled.
I'm on some wine right now.
Hold on, man. Milton, for once, shut up and let me speak. Without, this is my show.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, okay.
Listen to the show.
Thank you.
Oh,
once again, guys. Once again, Hogan has the right to say what's on his mind. True. He say it in private. Does he deserve the right to be punished this way? And there's a comeback from this. Matt,
I'll tell you this.
Comeback.
I don't,
of course there's a comeback. People can do PR damage 1, 2, 3. He needs to step out in the light and say, hey, do some cooking shows or some charity events, and he'll be fine.
Hulk Hogan has the right to say whatever he wants in this country, whether it was recorded or not. It's a free country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The WWE mm-hmm. has the right to protect its brand name, and because they have corporate sponsors to answer for. They're a publicly traded IPO. They have constituents to answer for. So they mm-hmm. have the right to feel if this is going to besmirch their product, this is how we're going to handle discipline. So if we're going to eradicate him from the history of our company, they have that right. But
yeah.
Does it make it right or wrong? That's subjective based on what side you're on. But in general, this falls on a lot of things that happen in the what we've been talking about before. Privately, was this conversation pertinent for people to hear? Was it meant to be heard? And is it an invasion of privacy from the fact that the porno tape wasn't supposed to be made public anyway? So anything
mm-hmm.
audio-wise that's on there,
exactly.
conversation from 8 years ago, once that's leaked online, that's for everybody to disseminate the information for what they want.
Yeah.
Well, if you cannot forget, you know what, that's your fault. But after this is like a minor situation. Let's move
yeah.
on with our lives. You know, yeah. what he said, he apologized, at least, you know. But
he
knows
he apologized
he
got caught.
He got caught.
Well, he wasn't really that sorry.
Because he could have said anything once the tape leaked that, you know what,
right.
I probably said some things on there that I'm going to regret, so let me get ahead of the curve before it gets leaked. If he was
exactly.
truly, truly sorry about it to that extent,
that's why
he could have made a statement. He could have said that to get ahead of it, so that it would, so the blow wouldn't be as abrasive as it came across. But he
okay.
only offered the apology after it was leaked, because the WWE found out about it. They fired him. They cut all ties with him. Then the apology came the day after the news leak.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, realistically. Will he be back? Probably after a while.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a very long time
back.
Because Vince McMahon is one of the Vince McMahon as a company owner is one of the most vindictive people out there.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Mm. Yeah, but he's about his money, and Hulk Hogan has made that company billions.
If it wasn't
yeah.
for Hulk Hogan,
but
there would be no WWE. Right
exactly.
Now.
No,
okay.
It wouldn't be.
They
but,
are not
but,
done with him. I can guarantee once this blows
but,
over,
but
I can
yeah.
almost guarantee
yeah.
that next
Hulk
summer you'll see him on that stage.
Hulk Hogan,
I guarantee
yeah, Hulk Hogan
in Austin.
Is,
You'll see me on that stage in Texas next year.
Okay.
No way. No chance.
All right, guys. Is Max still sleeping?
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, he is.
That's
oh my goodness, right. Man! You know Mac.
All right,
he does.
Okay, so back to Hulk Hogan. He said he was upset because it was okay that Obama used the N word and not for him. Is there a different one?
He does not get it. That's
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah.
It was Obama used it in a different context. It wasn't as blatant as him just going off and saying it. He used it in a different context.
But you know what? This is what's starting to annoy me about people. People always want to compare the incomparable. Like, really?
He said it, so why can't I say it?
And I mean, that's really
so strong
and wrong about it. Like, they're just posting, sorting around Facebook, and they're saying something about, telling a black person not to react is like telling a woman not to wear something and get raped. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
What they're saying was
not to be reacting, but you know, not standing up. The whole thing about how the black person should act better or this, that, and the third. What they're trying to say is that's the same thing similar to when a woman gets raped. Oh, she will. Feels about her man or clothes too short or being too sexy or whatever have you. So I understand the correlation you said. That said is because you know the woman should wear whatever they want to, and the black person should be able to stand up for themselves and stand up for their rights. The law is saying not, you know, doing anything physically.
We already discussed that in the other show. When a cop pulls you over, it's a wrap. Like, there is no, I'm black, hear what I got to say, run off my mouth.
When the cop is being belligerent and being disrespectful, you do have a right to say, listen, I know what the law is, and I know, you have that right in America.
Hold on 1 second. We did talk about this yesterday, and we most of us agree. Yes, Milton has your right. You need to know the law, you need to know your rights. But at the same time, if you're facing an officer, the best thing to do is do what you said, shut the hell up, give them your idea.
Exactly.
Stay
cool. That's
what
you got to do.
That's what you got to do is stay cool.
If you
count one of these race soldier police here, that's not going to help you. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest with this whole, if you just be quiet, you'll be okay. Come on now.
No, that's not going to help.
Well,
you keep acting that way, you could be the next victim. You need to calm down with that nonsense.
Guys, brothers, can I say something about this?
This is the thing. When you are stopped by a police officer, you know what? The police officer, especially knowing that you're a black man or a black woman, they expect you to go off. They want you to go off because you know why? That gives them a reason to do something to you. You have to understand that. That's why no matter what it is, you got to stay cool and calm. By blowing up, what's that going to do? That's going to give him, I mean, that's going to give that policeman or policewoman ammunition to do whatever the hell they want to do. This is what they want. They want you to wild out.
So, in other words, for Milton X, if you want to fight the power, be our guest, but you end up becoming another hashtag,
you'll be another victim.
Listen, if our account were kind of, God forbid, with one of these race soldiers out here impersonating police, there's little you can do, really. You know what I'm saying? Because now I understand a regular cop, whatever have you, and I don't antagonize nobody. But listen, I just do what I do. But it gets to a point now where even if you're doing what the cop tells you to do, they're going to mess with you. Listen, so that's all I'm going to let you know what. Sometimes it just is more luck of the draw. That's all that is. And the whole thing, if you act right, you know, you'll be okay. That's not the case.
Hold on. You have your time. Now give it to Matt and Kato. Go ahead.
Okay. All right.
I'm agreeing 110% with Kerwin. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Like I said, I agree with Kerwin 110%. You got me in common, cool. Show control.
Bottom line, it's nothing is guaranteed. But we've all seen the videos with Eric Gardner, Miss Sandra Blunt. They lost their cool. These people lost their
cool.
Like I said before yesterday, come up with a strategy to try to do better. I sent videos out to most of you guys. You guys, I watched it. It's not saying it's guaranteed it's going to work, but it sure as hell is going to help. And you sure, you've seen them, they don't act nowhere near as those victims have did.
Okay. I completely lost all of that.
All right, so anything else, guys, you want to say about Hulk Hogan?
Oh,
oh my goodness.
Hulk Hogan is
racist.
He's done.
He
got
caught
out
Hulk Hogan finished.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan's dead.
Yeah, he's finished.
It's over.
I'll
put it to you like this. In the grand scheme of things, is it so important that we should be concentrating on Hulk Hogan and what he said over, starving people in the middle of the country? No.
There's a lot of important issues that we need to focus on.
But there are connections that Hulk Hogan has made with the youth when he was going and actually wrestling and competing. And those kids grew up to be adults. A lot of those kids are now our age. And those are the ones that were spending the money on Hogan. So if you now, with some of those people that are our age that now have children of their own that were fans of Hulk Hogan and have to deal with hearing that, then you've got an issue with how do I teach my kid X, Y, and Z when he just went off on a racist rant about his daughter's boyfriend.
No, I said it was wrong, but you have to understand, no one's perfect. He made a mistake.
I'm sorry,
like I said before, we've all said some really stupid shit when we're pissed. Okay?
However, let's be honest here,
okay?
He made a mistake,
so
he's got to be held accountable
for
it.
Has he ever promoted or done anything like this in character or promoted this to his young fans ever? No. He's always been right with his fans. So for him to be condemned for one stupid mistake, yes, it was wrong. It was a really stupid mistake, but it was a mistake. I don't see that he should be condemned forever for this one stupid instance.
He's paying for that mistake. I mean, you got to watch your tone when you're upset.
And
watch
you also got to think of the fact that the tone
he made
with
Obama,
millions of people out
here.
Mistake.
The time that we live in now, as racially sensitive as everything has been, especially over the last 6 months to a year, a public retreat.
Time out. Matt, go ahead.
Like I said,
we didn't hear you.
He didn't pay for his mistakes. Because when she made that comment about Obama, that is more clear the man is racist. He said
he
was racist.
Wait. He made a comment
about Obama, too? He was comparing himself. Why would Obama use the N-word? Obama's a biracial black man. He's biracial. It doesn't matter if Obama's biracial or not. You don't even don't try to justify, all right, this person did it, I'm going to say it, too. Own your own mistake.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing is there's a lot of people that are around racist folks every day, and they let them slide with a lot of racist stuff. At some point they need to respond to them and respond to them in such a way that it's a learning response. They learn from the shit that they do, so hopefully they won't repeat it again. But like I said, a lot of racists out there get pat on the wrist. A lot of racists know how to keep their shit under lock and key. And they poke out whenever they want to. There's a lot of them on Facebook and Twitter and social media now. So it's like,
why are
people so surprised that there's racism around? Your boss is probably a racist. But guess what? You're getting a paycheck from him. So you love him.
Mm-hmm.
You probably bring him lunch and breakfast. Because I'm telling you, the dude I worked with, chicks and niggas was bringing him lunch and breakfast 24/7. And they knew he was racist. So what the hell? Like, really?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So they got to go along and get along.
Yep.
They don't have their own business. They just go along and get along because they don't have their own business, which is a bigger issue. People have their own business and they don't need to work for racist bosses.
Exactly.
That's why it's
exactly.
Part of your own economy.
Here we go again.
But that in itself is
here
hard.
We go again.
Because when a person tries to start something, the powers that be, the racist ones, because they racism, remember, racists are superior. That's where it's a power thing. So when they come out and lock down what they need to lock down, y'all not going nowhere. So it's like you have to really be strategic. It's all about the art of war. And unfortunately, blacks or minorities ain't ready for that war. So racism will live. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. We're not ready for the war that's going on. There's
definitely
a war going on right now.
Well, like I said before and I say it again, racism is a plague that's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's alive and well.
Exactly.
Just as it was 50 years
it
ago.
It never was sick in the first place.
Oh,
it
yeah,
is.
True.
It's not going anywhere.
Okay. So I have to wrap it up soon. So Milton X, preach on, brother. Oh, my.
Watch it. Or you get fired from the view. All I'm saying is that you got to hold these racists accountable for what they do.
Exactly.
We got to get our own business, our own economy. That's how you fight racism with the money. Not by marching and protesting. You got to have your money right, and you punish those that oppress you. That's it. Black first.
Black first. Thank you. Max, my brother, my sleeping brother, take it away.
Well, as far as Sandra Hogan, he was a true symbol of racism from day one. He never dropped the belt for no black African-American champion. He never gave a main event for a black man, so why would I even cross this man's problems now? No way. A true example.
Hey.
And that's an old It's time to move on and get rid of all the old school timers. They gotta go.
Preach.
Hey, oh. Exactly.
Very
right.
Good. K Dog, take it away, brother.
Well, I gotta say about Hulk Hogan, I say that what he did not only was it stupid, but you know what? I'll tell you one thing: he didn't hold back. He told his true feelings of being a racist, and you know what? And I'm kind of glad that he got caught being a racist out there, and I agree with Max. Never put his belt down for a black man. Hey, I don't feel sorry for him. Goodbye.
Wow.
Okay. All right, Ms. Jones?
You know, I was honestly surprised because, you know, being a kid and all, watching and growing up and just watching him, I really didn't think, you know, I didn't put two and two together because, you know, the only thing that really hit me was, oh, my God, wrestling is fake. That's when I got older. But, you know, I mean... Am I heartbroken by it or anything? No, I'm not. I really, it's like someone said, it's too much other things going on in the world today. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to him. I wish him, I don't know. Bye, Hogan. I don't know. Whatever.
Bye,
and,
Hogan.
Bye,
Felicia.
Exactly. Thank you. And about the stuff going on in Detroit with the couples getting raped, that's just ridiculous. Apparently, two of them got caught, and a third one turned themselves in. So I'm like, what's going on where you got to,
really?
Is it like some type of, what was it, like a type of initiation thing? Let's go around
and
rape couples?
Yeah, a sick initiation to attack couples and
like,
rape.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the whole act is disgusting.
Yeah, like, I mean, it actually happened to a friend of mine in Jamaica. Like, his girl got raped and, like, he watched or whatever. So, I mean, it does happen. Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, good show overall. As you
all right, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right,
thank
good
you.
Night,
welcome.
Good night, guys.
Hey, good night, guys. Good night, guys.
And we appreciate the calls. Thank you.
Yeah,
all right. Anitra B. Sean Black, I have one question for you guys before I wrap it up. Rachel Dolezal, whatever that woman is, you know, the black
Rachel
woman.
Rachel Dolezal, yes.
And you know, the black white woman, the confused lady?
Yeah.
She's doing hair now. She's doing hairstylists for black females because she can't find a real job. Do you feel sorry for her?
I don't feel sorry for her because she can always find something else to do, which is if what you're saying is true, then she's found something else that she likes doing. Maybe that's just a small stop on where she's going to go in life, but a lot of this stuff was brought on her own. You know, a lot of the things that happened were brought on by her. So that's something that she had to deal with. And her family is left out dealing with it as well because of all of the media scrutiny. So I don't feel sorry for her at all.
Yeah, okay. She brought it herself. She's not a victim here. She is not a victim here. She brought it upon herself and made your bed. Now lie in it.
Wow. Mic drop from Anitra B.
Wow.
Okay.
Just saying. She's not a child. She's a grown adult. These are decisions that she made for herself. That's it.
All right. And final thoughts about anything, Anitra B.
Well, like our first topic, the whole gun control thing, it kind of freaks me out. I have to be honest with you guys. If it's that easy to get something like that, it is a little scary. The whole, you know, issue, the topic where the two couples got raped, I thank God they some of the guys that they were arrested, and I think only one of them is still at large. From what I understand.
Yeah. All right.
And Hulk Hogan's a moron. Who cares? There's so many other things that we can be, you know, like concentrating on. It's this idiot ranting and raving. Who cares? But I am upset that the WWE ripped them off the site completely. That did upset me.
Okay. Sean Black, you got a minute and a half.
Okay. My thought process is...
Now's your time to let it out about how much you love Hulk Hogan.
I'll put it to you like this. In the time in our country right now that we're at, where we're about to, in another 14 months or so, pick a new president, the leadership has to be as such where we know where we're going to put the attention into race relations, into jobs, into education, infrastructure, those kinds of things. And a lot of the topics we talked about could go part and parcel with some of the things that the government hasn't really done a great job in helping to fix. So my ideal is if there are people, as they say, on the ground, boots on the ground, so to speak, the foot soldiers that are doing what they have to do to make sure that things happen, we have to make sure that there are enough areas in society that people can go to where help can be made and then people can go in and actually speak what's on their mind and come up with solutions. We've heard a lot of people complain and do certain things about other things and nothing is getting done. So let's start on a road to solutions. That's what we need to start doing.
Okay, brother.
Yes, brother.
I feel you, brother. And as for me...
Sounds like a personal problem, brother.
Yes, I have to go use the bathroom and take your business, brother. But...
Oh, boy.
What can I say?
Stay away from that beef, brother.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I'm a real
American.
That's
a lie, brother.
Fight for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in Sunday for another edition of the Absolute Truth Show. I'm your host with the most, the Hot Rod, with Sean Black and Anitra B. The pleasure was all yours. Thank you so much, and have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.